I love talking about compliance.
All right. Well, we'll do it again sometime soon.
Next week?
I don't know about that.
Okay.
Welcome to the Risk and Repeat podcast, episode number 70. I'm Rob Wright, editor of Search Security, and I am here as usual with my site editor, Peter Loschen. Peter, welcome.
Hi, Rob.
We are back in Chernobyl again this week.
Yes.
A 2-4 week. It is Friday. It is September 1st. We are in the toward the end of summer, the winding down of warm weather, and we're in here talking about a scintillating topic that I'm sure you're eager to dive into, Peter. Compliance.
What's not to like?
I just want to state for the record before we get into this discussion, I'm not a fan of discussing compliance or writing about it or really reading about it. I think it's a very dry topic. I know you're looking at me like, really?
Who doesn't want to talk about compliance and regulations and standards? It's great.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I think that there are discussions to be had about compliance and industry standards, regulations, et cetera, in sort of the way that they, I'm always fascinated by and how they fail the industry and how they don't really do anything at times in a lot of cases, that they're just for show, that they aren't really productive, that they don't really matter. And I think that's a sort of a commonly held disposition, maybe not belief, but disposition held by a lot of people in the InfoSec community, that compliance doesn't really matter. However, Verizon just came out with their 2017 payment security report, and if there was ever a time to discuss compliance and PCI DSS, I think it's now, because there were some interesting findings in this report. We just read a story, soon to be published story, written by our assistant site editor, Maddie Bacon, about this report and some of the data and some of the arguments that it makes based on those data points. And I think it's about time that we sit down and kind of discuss this openly, not that it's being hidden by anybody, but really get into it. So the report is pretty long. I think the executive summary, what was it? It was like 8 pages.
It was sizable.
Yeah.
I mean, not the biggest report that we've ever talked about.
Sure.
But, you know, it's a good size.
Yeah.
160 pages, I want to say.
Yeah. 120. I mean, it's long.
Wow. Oh.
It's got a lot of data in there. And I mean, Verizon, as we know, they do a lot of investigations. They do their data breach investigation report every year. That's obviously very extensive. It's pretty much the benchmark study for data breaches and the findings around those data breaches, how they're caused and sort of the effects of such data breaches and so on. So this report takes a hard look at the payment card industry's data security standards, so PCI DSS. Now this is a standard that's been around for a long time. And it pretty much is the gold standard. Gold standard is probably not the right term, but it's the primary standard, compliance standard for retailers and all manner of companies and industries that exchange payment card data, that take payments through credit cards, ATMs, etc. And not too long ago, I think we should probably start out by saying, not too long ago, I don't know if you remember, Peter, but they said, I think with the introduction of PCI DSS 3.2, they said this is going to be sort of the last major revision of this standard for a while, or last major update. There'll be small, tiny incremental updates, but I remember when PCI DSS 3.1 came in, I think it was 2014, that was kind of a big deal. Like, there was a lot to that. We had a bunch of stories. Our former editor, Eric Parizeau, who was really up to speed on this stuff, wrote a number of great pieces about it, really diving into what was new, what had changed, and what it meant for enterprises. And So this report from Verizon comes out, and there's some good news in it. Like, I mean, there's actually some positives, and I should we start there?
Sure.
So compliance is actually going up.
That is good.
I mean, I was a little surprised by that. I was not expecting that.
Well, it's good if you believe that compliance is a good thing.
True. Fair point.
And I would argue that compliance is a good thing, as long as you're complying with standards that are
efficient, that are
the right standards.
Yeah, it said, so I'll read from the report here, quote, "For the first time, more than half, 55.4% of companies we assessed were fully compliant at interim validation, compared to just 48.4% in 2015. But that means that nearly half of stores, hotels, restaurants, practices, and other businesses that take card payments are still failing to maintain compliance from year to year," end quote. So good and bad.
Right. Now I have a question.
Shoot.
Can I look up to see if a business or somebody that's asking for my credit card, can I look up and find out if they're compliant or not?
Ah, like a Better Business Bureau?
Well, better than that.
Yeah, no, you can't. You can ask them, I suppose, but it's not like it's going to be on their... It's not like it's going to be on their website, and I don't think PCI, like the industry organization itself, like I don't think they have a listing of like, we'll tell you who's up to speed and who's fallen out of compliance and so on and so forth. I don't think that data is sort of readily available to the public now.
Well, see, just to interject and for the sake of argument and discussion, there's another set of standards that we run into all the time, and that's food safety standards, for example. I mean, those are a matter of public safety and public health.
Yes, they are.
And if somebody is purveying food to the public and they didn't do a good job of complying with those standards, they get a grade that gets put in their window when you walk in, so you can see the alert that, hey, these people have not been washing their hands after whatever event that they need to wash their hands after. You know, they took currency and then didn't wash their hands when they touched food, let's say. So
yeah,
to me that would be a step forward. I would like to be able to do business with companies that comply with these rules rather than that don't, because then there's consequence to that, right?
Yeah. No, I mean, you can't go through, like, if you go to New York City and you're walking down the street, in some restaurants, there's like a flyer on the window with a grade or whatever. I mean, so not only can you look it up in some cases, but you, like, it's right there. Like, if there's a food safety issue or a hazard or anything like that, it's like a scarlet letter. This, it's not really the same. I mean, I know that PCI on its website, I think they have a list of validated payment applications and technology that merchants and different companies should use. As far as I know, no, there's no listing of like they don't keep up a sort of a live database of these are all the companies that meet the standard and are compliant at any given moment and these aren't.
I'm going to start asking companies that I do business with, that I make purchases from, whether they're compliant or not.
Yeah, no. I mean, it's a great question. I do wonder if you had something like that, Peter, would that increase the chances that more companies would adopt it? Like, if you could advertise, like here are the companies that not advertise, but if there was a public listing of it, and companies that were compliant could just basically say, look at this, we're on this list, we're awesome.
I think it would be a good thing. And I think I probably jumped the gun because we didn't get to the really good news part.
Oh.
Right?
Yeah.
So about this report.
What's the good news, Peter?
The good news is that Verizon looked at 300 or so events that occurred breaches or other events that occurred between 2011, I want to say 2016,
mm-hmm.
Or 2010.
2010, actually. 2010. Yep.
So 300 events of credit card problems. Of those, none of them occurred to companies that were compliant.
Yeah.
So that's why if, I mean, it's correlation. It's not, causation has not been proven.
True.
But correlation is useful piece of information here. If I know that companies that are compliant are less likely to be breached, then I'd rather not have to get one of those letters in the mail sometime down the road that I've gotten, so that everybody has gotten.
Target, come to
Target and, you know, whoever else.
Neiman Marcus, different hotels. I mean, it's not just retailers. It's really anything that takes
a credit card
or a bank card or a check card or whatever you want to call those ATM cards.
I would wager that if you're compliant on PCI DSS, you may even be compliant or more arguably more secure for people who do business with you in other dimensions as well.
Yeah, I mean, that's when I read that part of the report, and actually maybe I should just read it because they have it sort of bolded in their executive summary. And they really play up this point. This quote, of all the payment card data breaches that Verizon has investigated between 2010 and 2016, nearly 300, not a single organization was fully PCI DSS compliant at the time of the breach. And we've written stories about this, about how companies achieve it and they fall out of it with stunning regularity. You know, you come in, a security manager or CISO says, we've got to be PCI DSS compliant, or CIO even. The CISO leaves, the CIO leaves, there's turnover, you fall out. So unless there's like a real institutional sort of practice or culture within that company that says, no, we are gonna, it doesn't matter who's in charge, doesn't matter who's coming or going, we're gonna do this. Like, we're gonna be PCI DSS compliant or compliant with whatever sort of regulations there are. It's just, I mean, that's troubling. Like, that's because, you know, and like you said, if you don't have a database or a public resource that says at any given time, like, I don't care who is PCI DSS compliant for 3.1, a company may be advertising that on their website saying, we've achieved. I mean, I just looked up while you were talking about this very subject. On Visa's website, for example, they have a registry of different service providers that they use that are PCI DSS compliant for 3.2. That's great. That's awesome. I'm not being facetious. I know it's sometimes impossible for me to sound like I'm not being sarcastic. I really mean it. But if there was like a central registry where you could check that stuff, like, that would be, and it was available and easy to find and all that stuff, that would be great.
Well, at the same time, another alternative to that would be to suggest, and I know this is pretty controversial, but just to suggest that companies that are doing this kind of business be required to comply, the same as companies that are selling food are required to comply with health regulations, the same as any builder or contractor that's doing work on real estate on buildings is licensed, yeah, and is complying with the building code.
Yeah.
I mean, building codes and health regulations are, I've mentioned this before, but they're basically written in blood, because when something really bad happens in a hotel fire, for example, in the aftermath, they look at why was it that people couldn't get out of the building?
Yeah.
And then they try to fix that in the iterations of the codes. Losing your, you know, getting your credit card breached is not the same kind of life-threatening or health-threatening event that eating a poison piece of food or falling down a stairwell that is not properly handrailed. I mean, it's different, but we're starting to get to the point where, for example, with IoT, we are we are at risk, at personal health and safety risk.
Very much so.
As also in this week's news roundup from Maddie Bacon, talking about the pacemakers.
Oh, yeah.
Almost 500,000 people with pacemakers inside of them have to now go into their doctor's office and get that upgraded. Now, if there was some regulations on how devices are deployed and how they're updated and upgraded, I mean, that would probably save a lot of anxiety among those people and their friends and families.
Yeah.
I know it's controversial, but a lot of the experts are saying IoT has to start complying with rules, because people's lives are at stake. With PCI DSS, are people's lives at stake? Probably not.
No. But I mean, and I think that's probably why we don't see more of like more attention sort of put on this, because it is just credit card data, and if you get burned, you're not on the hook for it, Peter. The credit card company is, and even then, it's not really them; it's the merchant. So it gets put back on them. So there's this sort of transfer of sort of responsibility away from the victim. So, and there's not a lot of pressure to be like, oh, you really need to be, I'm not going to work with you, I'm not going to, you know, shop at your store unless you're PCI DSS compliant, because what does it matter? You're not, it's going to be an inconvenience. You're not going to pay for it.
Yeah, but arguably there's issues of privacy.
Oh, totally.
But
I'm saying money is going to hit you
right,
like hardest. It's the first thing that you're going to notice.
Yeah, I mean, our privacy has already been breached about 40 or 50 times.
Make me depressed.
But the thing about credit cards is you don't have to use a credit card. You can use a check, which...
Bitcoin.
Arguably, Bitcoin, sure. But, I mean, you always have the option of paying in cash, for example. But as the payment cards become more and more dominant,
yeah.
and that goes for bank cards. Bank cards don't have the same protections that the credit cards do.
Yeah.
So... One could conceivably make the argument that as time goes, as we move into the future, we're going to have more and more issues that are related to this.
Yeah.
To protecting data, and if, I mean, it's sort of a canary, kind of a bellwether that if you're a company and you can handle PCI DSS compliance, then you're probably doing other things right in the way that you're protecting your data.
Yeah.
And that's all we want. We just want our data protected.
Right. So, like, getting back to your question, like, I mean, even Verizon in its own report says that compliance with PCI DSS doesn't mean that you're necessarily aces when it comes to InfoSec. But what do you make of that correlation? Like, that all of those companies, 300 nearly, over 2010 to 2016, that were breached were not fully compliant. Do you think that compliance makes you safer, or do you think that maybe these companies that are sort of constantly compliant with PCI DSS, that's sort of more of a product of them already being good at InfoSec and taking this particular standard very seriously?
I think it's a combination.
Okay.
Number one, I think that, you know, it's PCI DSS 3.2, not PCI DSS 1.
Yeah.
I mean...
No, that's a long time ago.
Right. And I remember, like, back when Windows 3.1 finally came out.
Oh, stop.
Windows 3.1 was the first usable version of Windows. And I had played around back in the olden days with betas and early versions, and I remember, this was my own observation, software products prior to version 3.1 were probably not worth messing around with.
Sure.
3.1 seemed to be the point at which things, Word 3.1 was finally good.
Yeah.
Windows, as I mentioned, there are a few other examples that, if I could remember back 30 or so years, I would mention. But yeah, like, PCI DSS is version 3.2. That means that it's been going through, that the standards have been going through these iterations of being improved. And so So in that case, you can say, you can conjecture. I don't even know what the regulations, what the standards are, but I'm going to guess that they're complicated, but they're probably relevant to maintaining safety of payment card data.
Yeah.
I mean, that's so that if you're compliant with PCI DSS 1.0 today, you're not compliant.
Right. But, no. And so, even 3.1, because that was 2015. Wow. Okay. So that was a while ago. Like that, I remember that standard when that came out. If I'm recalling correctly, and I believe I am, I think the organization started to introduce requirements about encryption, addressing vulnerabilities with things like SSL and early versions of TSL, and like you can't use those anymore. I mean that's good. Like that is going to have a tangible effect on your bottom line security if you are not using. Like if there was a standard that told Yahoo, for example, you can't use MD5 anymore for your, right? Like that would have had an effect. So I don't think these requirements and these compliance standards are necessarily toothless. I'm just not sure, like what, I don't know what the causation is. I don't know what the net effect is. I do think that data point about the 300 companies is extremely fascinating because you when you can hold that up and show that the companies that didn't do their job when it came to this got breached, and that there isn't a single company on that list that was compliant, that was compliant, that matters.
Yeah.
That I mean, if I was PCI, I'd be touting that data point.
So I'm reminded of Sturgeon's Law.
Yes, you've evoked that a few times.
Yeah,
but do it. Go.
90% of everything is crap. Now that was, as I've probably explained in the past, that was in a discussion about whether science fiction and fantasy, is a worthwhile genre or not. And Sturgeon, who's a famous science fiction author, he got kind of annoyed with the whole argument. I mean, if you look at any genre, 90% of it is going to, the top 10% is going to be better than the rest of it.
Yeah.
That's sort of like, and it's not just going to be a little bit better, it's going to be significantly better than most of it.
Yeah.
You can apply that to not just to genres of writing, you can apply it to everything.
Yeah.
A lot of people are looking to, to do as much as they can and make everything great. But most people are willing to do enough to get by.
Maybe
do better than average is good for some people. I mean, so, I'm not judging. I'm just saying that some of these companies that have been around for a while, they're not pushing themselves. And if you're not going to push yourself to excel, then you're not going to excel.
So do you think that PCI compliance, given the data that we see in this report, is it a good thing? Like, is it having an effect? Is it sort of a net positive, I guess?
I think so. And I think also that if consumers look for it, I mean, you were joking earlier about what PCI DSS should be doing, but I mean, I would love to be able to see a little badge on a website indicating that somebody's compliant.
Yeah.
That would mean a lot to me as a consumer.
I do wonder that, so when they came out with 3.2 and they said, we're not going to have any major sort of changes or big updates to this for a while. This is sort of a the start of a period where we're going to be doing smaller incremental changes to it. I wonder, and to be totally clear, 3.1 had some major changes, major additions to it, which is great. But I wonder if the organization and the merchants that are trying to be PCI compliant here, if they just sat back and said, if less than 50% or around 50% of companies out there are only really compliant at any given time, and that half aren't, are we at risk of losing even more companies to non-compliance if we keep adding layer upon layer of requirement, if we keep updating it to the point where it's just going to be too much for some companies? And if we stop with these big updates, then maybe that'll give companies a chance to catch up. I don't know.
I get the feeling that right now they're not looking to make major changes, but when they do make changes, I think it's worth, I mean, any change that they do make at this point is worth following, because obviously they're not looking to make big changes, but whatever changes they do make should have an impact.
Yeah.
Are likely to have an impact, a big impact. So,
yeah.
It's a process. It's not a product.
It's a continuous process.
It's an ongoing process.
Yeah. It'll be interesting, but I mean, so much has changed with technology even in the last year. It'll be interesting to see what the organization does next year, maybe, if it's still going to be an incremental update, or if they're going to be forced to do something that's bigger that they hadn't anticipated on, and what that will do for the compliance percentages. Like we said, you know, 55%, that's pretty good, but that means almost half are just not compliant, and that's obviously not good. And just a couple more data points from the story before we wrap up. Maddie noted that in the report they talked about companies that failed their compliance assessments in 2015 were missing the mark by about, it said here, about 12.4% of the required controls. There's a tremendous list of different controls that you're supposed to meet, and they're not very technical. Like these controls, I mean, they're sort of basic steps, but they're still complicated in a way that you have to make sure that all your, you know, I's are dotted and T's and cross are all that. So, but in 2016, that percentage of sort of missing controls went up to 13%. So that number is increasing. And the report says in no uncertain terms, quote, many of the security controls that weren't in place cover fundamental security principles with broad applicability, and their absence could be material to the likelihood of suffering a data breach, end quote. Again, it goes back to that 300 number. The number of companies that were breached, none of them were PCI compliant.
Fully
PCI compliant. May have had some, but like if you found out that a company was mostly PCI compliant, but they were still using like TLS, like or SSL, or you know, an early version that is specifically sort of not outlawed by, because they're not they're just a standards body. This isn't, you know, the government. This isn't, you know, you're not going to be fined for this. But like who knows? That could have been a reason why some of these companies got breached. You don't know.
Well, and it, as you say, it's voluntary. I mean, 55% opting to spend money and resources on this kind of thing.
Yep.
That's not bad.
I hope that PCI continues to get traction and the numbers go up, and we'll see where it goes from there. But
yeah.
Peter, thank you for joining me in this conversation about compliance. I know it's not the most alluring of topics, but
hey, I love talking about compliance.
All right. Well, we'll do it again sometime soon.
Next week?
I don't know about that.
Okay.
And thank you to the listeners and readers of Search Security. I'm Rob Wright, and we will see you next time.